This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Joe Bevilacqua and New Chapel in Grand Rapids, Michigan. For more information, please visit newchapel.com.
Well, good morning and welcome to New Chapel. My name is Joe Bevilacqua. I'm the lead pastor here, and we are in the fourth part of our series, Life is a Circus, and we've had an awesome time so far. The first week, we talked about how we're living the greatest show on earth, how you need to find your purpose and live out the great life that God has for you. And the second week, we talked about how life is a funhouse, family is a funhouse, and if you're going to learn to navigate the funhouse, you need some guiding principles from God's Word to learn how to push through and have the great time that God wants you to have with your family. And it's been an incredible series so far. I'm especially excited about today. About 12 years ago, I walked into a church up in Newaygo, Michigan, which if you don't know where Newaygo is, if there's a bright center of the universe, Newaygo is the furthest thing from that, okay? And I grew up there on Hess Lake, and I followed a girl to church, not my wife, but I followed her, walked in through the doors of that church, and I found God. I was taken back by the music because we were taught that drums were of the devil and only piano and organ worked and God couldn't hear a preacher unless he was wearing a tie. But when I walked in, I was blown away at a life-giving church, an experience that I had never had before. And I fell in love with Jesus. And one of those characters that were part of the plot of that initial time that I had with God was Pastor Eric Harvey. He became my intern leader. I became an intern at the church, and I fell in love with his daughter. And he was the children's pastor there. I had no kids, but I was constantly up in the children's check-in line. Everyone's like, what's Joe doing creeping around the kids? Get him away from the kids. And I was going up to the check-in area because Kaya was working the check-in area. And kept on going up there, and that's where I fell in love with Kaya during that season. And I always thought it was a very romantic thing that I fell in love with really one of the great leaders in my life. And I'm so honored that today he's going to come and share with us the next message in this series about flying the trapeze, about how to raise kids to fly high. Would you be so kind to stand up on your feet all over this place? Put your hands together for Pastor Eric Harvey. Pastor Eric, come on up here. Take your liberty, my friend.
Thank you very much. I will take my liberty. That means we'll be out of here about 1:30. Joking. Thank you very much. If we could do something, just go ahead and stand up. And if you're so willing, close your eyes and keep them closed and go ahead and sit down. You can open your eyes now. It's that easy to trust Jesus. I love this morning. Trusting the Lord is that easy. You have no idea while you stood up and closed your eyes whether people went behind you and pulled your chair. I have seen that on YouTube because I like weird stuff on YouTube. But it's not very funny when somebody pulls a chair out from behind you and then you go to sit down. But you didn't know if anybody did that this morning at all, but you trusted that that chair was going to be there, and it was. And the same thing with the Lord. You can trust Him. It's His promise. He'll always be with you. He said He'd never leave you. Just like that chair being there for you. He's there for you today. If you didn't notice, I think this is my third time here. This morning, can you tell that the Spirit of the Lord is here? I mean, we're gathered here because of God and what God did. And He promises to be here with us. And one of the things that's like in my heart when I was sitting down front, I felt like there may be one or two or maybe even a few of you that were feeling like, I don't know if this is working for me. I'm not sure about this God thing. I'm not sure about the Lord thing. I want to encourage you today. Don't give up. Don't give up. If you felt like on the edge of giving up, don't give up. Trust me, trust the Lord, trust what you've learned here. He's always there for you. He's always there. He will not leave you. And He does have a plan. And as Pastor Joe said, The subject today is raising kids to fly high. Now, how many people in this room have no kids at all? Okay, so before you say, I don't give a flying Walinda about this service, it has nothing to do with me at all. I promise you, by the time I'm done speaking, it will have a lot to do with you, even if you're single. It kind of reminded me of the Subaru commercial. Remember the guy, if you don't watch TV, I'll just explain it to you. If you do watch TV, you couldn't have missed this because it's one of the greatest commercials on TV. The guy says, I'm never getting married. I'm never getting married. Next thing you know, he's like, oh, that's a beautiful ring. And he says, I'm never going to have kids. Next thing you know, the little baby's crying. And it goes on and on. And at the end of the commercial, he says, I wouldn't change anything. So if you're single today, if you say, I don't even want a date. I don't like boys anymore. They hurt me. I don't like girls anymore. They're gross. Whatever. Because they're not. Hang in there. Hang in there. And even if you stay single for the rest of your life, teaching other people to fly high will be the greatest thing that you can do in your life. I was really, really pleased to hear what the topic was. And I don't even know if Joe knew this, but ever since I was little, I loved being up in the air. Height and me are awesome. It reminded me when I was 4 years old, on the top of the roof of a two-story house that my dad was building. It wasn't shingled yet. It was just most of the sheeting was on the roof. And I'm running around on top of the roof. Me and my dad. Well, I was running around. Dad was working. And then Mom pulled up. And that was a problem because Mom started screaming at Dad. What are you doing? Why is he up there? And my dad said to my mom, I don't remember this, but my dad told me and my mom told me later that Dad said, if you discourage him now, he'll never want to be up high again. So for you today, if you've been discouraged in the past of flying high with God and doing the things of God, I break that off of you in the name of Jesus because God has a plan for you. God's plan for you is not to keep you low, but to raise you up. So that you can accomplish big things for him. See, because you're not on your own. And you're not alone. It's Christ in you, and that's your hope of glory. All these things that we do and we talk about today are all done by the grace of God inside of you and I. Doing the extraordinary and the incredible things of God. 1967 it was. My dad worked three jobs. Mom stayed at home with the four kids. I'm the youngest of the four. That's why I'm so spoiled. And we didn't go to the circus often. I only remember going to the circus one time. But the amazing thing, in 1967, this thing was still really incredible, called the TV. And back then, most TVs in 1967 worked really well with tinfoil on the antennas. Now, if you don't know what an antenna is, I understand and I apologize. But back then, an antenna is what brought the signal into the TV. And I remember in 1967, I don't remember what month, but it was summertime because I do remember that. And we were watching the circus on TV. And because I liked height so much, when it came time, actually it was at the very beginning, I don't know if they always start off, but they start off with a bang with the circus, and it was the trapeze people. And they were swinging and doing flips, and I think they even, because there was a net under them, I think they fell on purpose, because I remember watching, and then I remember my heart going, ooh! and then he bounced in the net, and he did a flip, and it was so awesome. And then I've never seen anybody climb a ladder so fast. You ever see those? They fall, and all of a sudden, do, like spider monkeys, going right to the top, ready to do it again. See, the fall doesn't stop them. Falling when you're flying high with God is going to happen. It's going to happen. I guarantee it. If you're going to do big things for God, you're going to fall big also. But there's a net. And that net looked so amazing. And when he hit that net and did a flip and back on his feet and up the ladder was so amazing. But what happened next was just so incredible to me. It blew my mind. And it was done by the girls. Should give a round for girls. Girls are amazing. Good job. Girls aren't afraid to do the cool things. And what these girls did, there was four of them. I still remember it. Left an impact in my life. They took the ropes and stuck them in their mouths. And then they jumped off and started swinging and doing this spin thing like 100 miles an hour. Like, it was amazing. I was watching and watching, and it was such a thrill to me. And then it was bedtime, and I went to bed. Dreaming of flying on the trapeze. And the next day, I found myself, it was summer vacation. I found myself at my friend's house, the Zylstra family, over by North Park School. Still remember, we lived right by the school. Had so much fun there. And went to my friend's house, and we were just hanging out. He had a cool basement. My basement seemed like it was just full of laundry. And you couldn't play in it, because Dad worked hard, and most of the time our laundry smelt. So there was really not a lot to do in my basement, but his basement was really cool. In his basement, he opened up the science kit, and we played with mercury. In a science kit. Now, things have changed a little bit, but this is 1967. In 1967, in a science kit, it was still a bottle of mercury. And we thought it was so cool because we poured it in our hands. And even though you went like that, you could make little bubble balls, and then they'd go back together. I have no idea why I didn't put it in my mouth. I really don't. Why didn't I put it in my mouth? Why didn't I at least lick it? I thought of that later. It seems like something I would have done. You know, even when the Lord, we think he's not close, he is. You know, why didn't I do some of the crazy things? Putting mercury in my mouth. Don't ever think the Lord's eyes are off of you. Don't ever think that. He'll keep you safe. He'll guard you. He'll protect you. Until you do something really stupid like I'm going to tell you next. So, I still had the trapeze thing dancing in my mind. And when we were done playing with the mercury and looking at bugs under the microscope, which is really cool. That is cool. The thing that shocked me, though, I thought they were going to be moving around. I have no idea why I thought they were going to be moving around, but I looked through there, it's like you saw the guts of a bug because they were squished between two slides. Science kits were cool in the 60s. I don't know what they look like now. They're probably boring. Safety and all that, but... So I look in the other part of his basement, and there's a rope, and it's hanging there. It was way higher than I could reach, but I have good news. I found a chair. I was creative that way, and I think I was created that way. So I hopped up on the chair, put the rope in my mouth, and said, "Watch this." And I jumped. And much to my surprise, I went straight down. blood filled my mouth. Yeah, this is a true story. I'm not even making this stuff up. I'm that funny. A tooth popped out. All of my teeth loosened up. Seriously, haunted me for a long time. I thought all my teeth were going to fall out because they were all so loose. And I ran up the stairs and ran home. Mouth full of blood. And I'm going, oh man, missing that tooth. Then I go like this. Oh, they were all loose. And my heart's pounding. I know what you're thinking. Okay, what'd your mom and dad say? Are you kidding me? It's 1967. You don't tell your mom and dad stuff like that. I mean, my point is, there's stuff, really, that's between you and God. There just is. You got to learn what those things are. But in 1967, that stays between me and God. Seriously, my teeth were loose for a year. I struggled with it. Every morning I would wake up and go, are they tighter? Nope. Not at all. It took a long time. I'm so excited to talk about this subject. So let's get into it. I do have some scriptures here that we're going to look over. Because here's what matters. Funny stories, great, awesome. But when we go to the Word of God, and we take in the Word of God, it will strengthen you. The Word of God will guide you. It'll be your strength. It's like food to your body. How many of you had breakfast this morning? I saw some of you run around eating juicy bagels this morning. Right around here is awesome. But that food makes you strong. Same thing with Scripture. Scripture makes you strong. There is no way that you're going to fly high with God or teach anybody else, including your children, to fly high unless you're not eating and taking in the Word of God. Okay, and taking in the Word of God, let me just give you a little bit more push. Please don't shoot me for saying this. Reading your Bible at church is not the only place you need to read your Bible. I mean, you're only here for an hour and a half today, maybe two if we get carried away. You need to read your Bible at home. If you eat at home, read your Bible at home. All right? And if you eat at a restaurant, read your Bible at a restaurant. It's all right. It's all good. We need the Word of God. So let's go. Before I read Scripture, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we approach your Word today, God, we're so thankful, God, that you gave us your Word so that we know your heart. So God, today, let us receive from you. Receive from your Word. Receive from your heart today, God. Change us today. Mold us. Don't let us leave the same, God. So we open ourselves up to you. We resist the things of the devil. We submit ourselves to you, God. And we receive from you. Holy Spirit, teach us today. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's just go ahead and look at Proverbs 22, verse 6. If you're a parent, I'm sure you know this. It says this: train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is probably in every parent class, every parent book. You know, it's our job to train our kids. But there's some misconception about this. A lot of times, in fact, years ago when I heard this, I thought, okay, I got to teach my kids to read the Bible. I got to teach them how to pray and teach them that church is amazing. And those things are really, they're really awesome. And those things are kind of like a gimme. For a parent, you need to teach your kids to read the Bible. You need to teach them how to pray. You need to teach them about the local church. But that's not what this scripture is talking about. This scripture is talking about something more intimate. Between a family member, between close friends, between the people you love with your whole heart. So for your children, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. I mean, don't all children should read the Bible? Shouldn't all children go to church? What he's talking about here, and if you read in the Amplified version, it gives you a little twist on this. See, I have four kids, two of them sitting right up front, and Joe. Those two are different. And my other two kids are different. See, the direction that they go is different directions. I mean, all with the Lord. But the direction that he's talking about here is not a direction specifically saying, teach him how to go with the Lord. No, as a parent, your job is to be intimate with your children, to be able to look at them, be able to look inside of them and say, this is what you were designed for. This is what you were made for. That's the direction I'm going to help you go. That's why so many times, if you just bulk them all together, when they get old, you haven't given them the direction of where they go, and they have no clue. They don't know what they're about. So many kids in college, they go, I just don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I mean, how many times in college do you change majors and minors? Why? Because a parent didn't see with the eyes of God inside the heart of their child and lead them in that direction. For me, especially with Naya, my youngest, super easy. I would come home from work, and I'd say, I'd hear all the noise. I'd say, what's going on? Who's here? And it's like a teacher's teaching. And I would go in my three season room and look. She would have her dolls, her stuffed animals, and anybody else that she could find. And she would be in front of them teaching them. See, a dad could go, oh, that's cute. Oh, how cute. That's so cute. And not pay attention, saying, God put something in her. God put something inside of her that says, I want to teach. I want to teach kids. You see, then as a parent, it's your job and my job to teach them in the Lord that direction. See what you can do in that direction. Both of them were my best children's church teachers. She was teaching kids her own age in church. Why? Because she's a teacher. You guys are lucky to have her here, both of them. Amen. Right? I mean, seriously, I know it's awesome listening to Pastor Joe up here, but every now and then, just go back in children's church, get your visitor tag on if that's the rules, and go back and listen to what they're teaching. You'll be amazed. Why? Because they're teachers. That's what God put in them. See, here's a problem that parents have. If, we'll stick with the teacher thing. If you're a teacher, your dad was a teacher, and grandpa was a teacher, guess what? You're going to be a teacher. Maybe. But what if that's not the direction that God put inside of them? It happens so many times, especially on boys. I'll admit, I was a sports crazy fanatic, you know, that type of dad. I played football, you're playing football kind of thing. See, we take our kids in whatever we love, even if it was in our heritage, we force that on them. And that's why you have boys and girls that when they're older, they don't have that direction that they needed from the Lord because a mom or a dad was trying to make them something that God didn't make them. I've heard it so many times. When a kid is big and strong, what do? Make him a football player or now a basketball player. That's a rough sport. But what if he wants to be an artist? What if God made him an artist? See, as parents, we have to be willing to put our thoughts in our dreams aside. See, we all have dreams for our kids, don't we? But if those dreams are coming from me instead of from God, I'm going to lead them in the wrong direction. See, as a parent, we need to take that dream that God has already put in them, and He will speak to you. And then it's your job to lead them in the direction that God has already planned for them. And then you can nurture them. Then you can strengthen them. Then you can encourage them. Does that make sense? Proverbs 29, verse 17, it says, correct your son, and he shall give you rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto your soul. Other translations say discipline. And obviously, you know the other one. How many of you know this one? Spare the rod, spoil the child. Okay. One more point. He needs a dad more than he needs a friend. Needs a dad. He'd be a dad, not a friend. He doesn't need a friend. He needs a dad. Huh. What did God call Abraham? A friend. A friend. Here's what kids don't need. Kids don't need dad to act like you're the same age as the kid. Right? I'll stereotype this a little bit just because it's fun. I mean, it happens. I know fashion is so crazy, but here's what, it does make me crazy. Especially, never go shopping at Meijer's Sunday night during when college is open, because all you see is spandex tennis shoes and Under Armour t-shirts on the girls. You can't even shop there. But it's like, I'm just getting out of here. I'm gonna come. We're starving tonight, guys, because this is just crazy. But so moms, you don't have to dress like them to be their friend. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what you wear doesn't make you a friend, but I'm telling you the truth. Moms and dads, your sons and daughters need you to be a friend. I'll let you chew on it for a little bit. What is it to be a friend? It's called being friendly. That's the Greek word for friend. It's derived from the Latin word friendly. I had a dad that worked hard, three jobs, busted tail. We can say that, right? Busted tail. Worked hard. I don't know anybody that worked harder than my dad. But guess what? He wasn't my friend. He's my dad. You don't need a friend, you need a dad. And I grew up my whole life not liking my dad. You know why? Because he wasn't friendly to me. If my dad would have been able to be, he wasn't saved. He got saved when he was my age. Bless the Lord. The Lord turned my dad upside down. We would see my dad. Help me to remember where I was at. When we would go to church with my dad, you know what everybody would say? Oh, it must have been so nice growing up with your dad, because he's so amazing. I'm like, you have any idea what I grew up with? That's not the guy I grew up with. You see what the Lord did in a guy. That wasn't my dad growing up. All right, where was I? No, I'm kidding. Being friendly to your kids, or being a friend to your kids, doesn't mean you have to dress like them. It doesn't mean you have to look like them. It doesn't mean that when your son or daughter, when their friends come over, you got to be with them. Hey, who's the old guy? Oh, that's my friend. Oh, I mean, my dad. Yeah. There's nothing grosser than a dad hanging out with the kids. I mean, you know what I mean? Especially when you're teenagers. You know, you got to give them some room. But it doesn't mean I can't be a friend. One of the neatest things that I've seen is when you see somebody older. I watch weird stuff on YouTube. YouTube has changed my life. Not as much as the Lord has, but there's just so many cool things on there. It's like back in 1967 again. You can turn a thing and stuff comes on. And I like watching all the America's Got Talent, the special ones. When I mean special, I mean good and bad. But to me, those are all special. Sometimes even the worst ones are more special to me than the good ones. But my point is, I've seen it time and time again. Such talented young people. And then they get backstage. And you know what? I've seen so many times where the daughter will say, "This is my mom. She's my best friend." Or a guy would say, this one guy, he was so funny. He did impressions. And when they went backstage, he grabbed his dad and just started bawling. And he said, "He's my best friend. He's encouraged me in what I wanted to do." See, parents, there's a way of being a mom and a dad and still being a best friend. Could you imagine Jesus waking up every morning yelling at the disciples? "Where's the fish? Starving, where's the fish? You didn't go fishing? Get out there, go fishing." You're like, "Shoot. Where's lunch? What do you mean you didn't heal him? What's your problem? What's wrong with you?" I mean, don't get me wrong, there was times Jesus was frustrated. But, I mean, he wasn't yelling at him, was he? No, see, we get the word discipline mixed up with a beating. You don't have to beat your kids. You don't have to beat them. No. You give them direction. You give them direction. Let me ask you this. Those of you that have accepted the Lord, has he ever disciplined you? Let me see your scars. Show me your scars. There isn't any, is there? No scars from the Lord discipline. When was the last time God beat you? He don't. Yet he disciplines us because he loves us. I'm going to encourage you in this. Because we are talking about training kids and raising kids to fly high. I mean, if you do have kids, raise your hand if you want them to fly high. Yeah, awesome. You can't take them somewhere you're not willing to go. See, your kids, you guys know this. This is nothing new. Your kids do what you do. They don't always do what you say. I mean, for the old rugged guys, that's what we say. "Don't do what I do, do what I say." Why? Why? It's time that you and I begin to fly high. But what's our problem with that? Last time I tried, I fell. Right? I fell. I failed. It didn't work. See, here's what you and I have to do. You and I have to change the way we look at us. We have to. See, you and I look at ourselves through our own eyes. I dare you to do this. Why don't you dare look at yourself the way you're looking at me right now? At least that much. See, you're sitting down there looking at me going, oh, you're amazing. I hope you are. I don't know. I know you're not supposed to assume, but if it's okay, I'm just going to break that rule just for right now. We're just going to assume that you're thinking that. But really, I'm just like you. I'm just a dad. He's got four kids that wants them to... wants them to fly high. But they're not going to fly high unless I'm flying. See, because they're going to do what I do instead of what I say. I'll take a break for a minute. Years ago, because I do feel like hopping up there, except I'm afraid I'd fall in between. There's a gap. I don't know if you see, there's a gap right here. If I could get up here, I would be up there right now because that's cool up there. You know why? It's cool because it's higher. It's just all there is. Being up in the air. So years ago, my dad and I together, we started a ultralight company right here. And you, oh, tell me more. I know. And this those little the little machines that you fly around. I mean, seriously, if you've never done that, here's what it feels like. Any Star Wars fans? Yeah. What is the thing that they fly around on that looks like a motorcycle only it's off the ground and go real fast around? Yeah, a scooter bike? Speeder bike. I'm not a Star Wars fan, sorry. But ooh, don't stone me. This is a Star Wars group. Speeder bike. Okay, the speeder bike in Star Wars. You see that? I think those look... isn't that the weird one that they had, like, stuffed animals chasing them? Yeah, that's what I thought. Me and Star Wars. They had stuffed animals, little guys, and chasing them. I was like, are you kidding me? Anyways, when you're in the ultralights, no joke, it feels like you're on one of them. You just scooting all around. I mean, going over trees. When you look at trees from when you're driving by, it just looks flat. When you're flying, it goes like this. There's hills. I mean, we're flying these things, and it's amazing. Yet, when I was looking to buy my first one, you have your choice. You could get a one-seater or a two-seater. I bought the two-seater. Because here's what I know about flying. When you're flying, number one, there's nothing like it. I mean, if you ever have a chance to do it, just put a mouthpiece in and do it. So, I mean, sometimes they crash. I'm just saying. Maybe a helmet. Knee pads and boots. Okay, as much safety equipment as you can get on, put it on, because they do crash. I've never crashed. My dad has. Whew, glad it was him and not me. Yeah, I'm glad it was him and not me. And so flying is incredible, but there's one thing that's more incredible than flying. That's flying with somebody. Flying with somebody. I mean, it's so fun. All the friends that I flew, I've never asked them for gas money. I never, because you know why? It was fun. It wasn't a business for me. It was just fun. We had a great time. But flying with somebody, flying with your kids, I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. Thought he was moving my chair. Because I'm almost done with the introduction. I'm joking. I will get you out on time. There's nothing like flying with your kids. There's nothing like flying with your friends. All right, I better read some scriptures before I get in trouble. This is a great scripture. Ephesians 2, verse 10. We need to understand this for ourselves, not only for ourselves, but for our kids. And if you're never going to get married, for your best friends. Okay? It says this, for we are his workmanship. I mean, I could literally talk about that for an hour, as you can tell. But you and I, are God's workmanship. created by His hands. We're His workmanship. And we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has ordained that we should walk in them. What? Before you and I were even born, God laid out a plan for you. God laid out a plan for your kids. Your kids are depending on you to help them walk that plan out. Your best friends need you to help them walk it out. See, it's God's plan. But especially as parents, God will speak that plan to you. See, dads, you're the prophet of your house. Don't be scared of that word. Don't be scared about being the prophet of your house. God will speak to you. He will speak to you about your life, and He'll speak to you about your kids' life. And He'll show you what He has planned for them. And you play such a big part in that. Training and teaching, not beating. Training, teaching, the way God trains and teaches you. How does He teach us? By His Word. How can you train and teach your kids? By your words. Not words of fish. But let's go fishing. Let's do it together. Be friendly. First Corinthians chapter 13 starts in verse 4. It gives you an outline of what the most important thing that Jesus taught. I mean, you can use this for yourself. You can use this to train your kids. You can use this with your friends. You can use this wherever you are. Because it's the greatest thing. Do you remember the commandment Jesus left us with? Love the Lord your God, right? Put God first. Love Him first. With what? With every part of you. And love your neighbor as yourself. And it just reminds me, Jesus said, I'll give you a new command. He said, you heard it said, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, right? Gives you a new command. He says, love your enemies. I know sometimes, seriously, your kids do feel like your enemies. My second daughter, when she was little, oh my gosh. I know, I had to bring her. She's not here, so I can talk about her. I mean, if I said yes, she'd say no. If I said blue, she'd say black. It didn't matter. Then if I said black, she'd say blue. And yep, I'd want to turn her black and blue. I mean, make you crazy. Make you insane. It's partly why I am the way I am. How do you treat? Does anybody else have a kid like that? Just a couple of you. God bless the rest of you. God bless the two that raised your hand. I'm going to give you an answer, though. Instead of beating them to death, instead of screaming at them, do this. Love suffers long and is kind. Love suffers long and is kind. Yeah, but you don't know my kid. Yeah, I do. Just like my kids. They have a path set up by God. See all that black, blue, yes, no thing? She's a great manager at a store. She's a great manager. I mean, I don't think anything bothers her. Well, it bothers her, but she just holds her. And she's like, she does her job. She does it great. Treats people amazing. They get phone calls going, oh, I don't know who that girl was, but she was so amazing to me. Yet she can tell somebody, you need to do your job right. She's cut and dried. You know where she's at. Love suffers long and is kind. See, if you have a tough child, It's all right.
Suffer long. Suffer long.
Seriously, in comparison, this life compared to the next, it's over. It's over. Look at my youngest.
Seriously, it was like a month ago, she was teaching her stuffed animals.
That's what it seems like.
That fast.
You won't have to suffer long. But you'll have to be kind forever. See, this isn't a suggestion that God gives us. And I hate to say it this way, but understand it. It's a command. But it's a command like this. He puts it inside of you, His grace, His ability for you to be able to suffer long, for you to be able to be kind. It's God working in you. Why? Because God has a plan for your kids to fly high. And they're not flying alone. They're flying with you. You might be over here. They might be over here. But you're both flying. What is that? What is that flying high? Simply this. Doing what God has called you to do. That's what it is to fly high. I mean, we look at other people and go, oh, they're not flying high. They need to get big, you know. No. That's natural. See, the things of God are supernatural. See a dad flying high. He may have been coming to this church ever since it started, and you don't even know his name. Doesn't mean he's not flying high. See, we're all different. We need to not judge each other according to what we see, but what's in the heart. See, if that dad suffers long and is kind, see, he has the love of God in him, and he's sharing that with his children. He's sharing that with his wife. He's sharing that with his friends. See, that's flying high. That's flying high. It doesn't mean you have to be up in the air in the spotlight. But you're doing what God has called you to do with a humble heart. Let me just read a couple more. Am I past? Am I overtime? I'm going to. You guys got any plans? I think so. I know you do. See, this hurts. Love envies not. Too many times we look at our. I know what happens. I've had the urge to do it myself. I never had what they have. Envy what others have, or envy what our kids have. You know, start thinking, man, I work so hard, and they treat that iPod like it's nothing. I'm not going to envy that. I'm not going to envy anything. See, you and I, take time and read the rest of that. I mean, go all the way to, I don't know, verse 14. Read that. That will give you the instruction on how you can fly high and help your children fly high and live a big life. I challenge you to look at yourself differently. Through the eyes of God, see, when God looks at you, He calls you amazing. He calls you wonderful. See, there's maybe some of you in here thinking, you don't know me. I'm not wonderful. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you're wonderful. Here's what I know. There's a thief. There is a thief. He comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. But keep reading. Jesus said this. I have come that you have life, and that you have that life in abundance. See, that's flying high. That's flying high. We look at it so much like, oh, there's a thief, and he comes and kills and steals and destroys. But you know what? Think about it. If you knew the thief was coming, what threat would it be? Are you kidding me? Oh, yeah, by the way, there's somebody that come and rob your house tonight. I'd be like that little dude on Home Alone. How fun would that be? The thief shows up. He steps one foot in, and he crunches his foot. That's the most hilarious thing I've seen. When he steps on the ornaments,
And then he gets the iron, boom, in the face. That is hilarious. That is hilarious stuff. The other part, the blowtorch, catches a dude's head on fire. That's funny stuff. See, that's the thief. He told us he's out there and he's coming. But when you know that there's a thief, we're ready for him. But we don't just know the thief. We know God. And we know that what God says is true. And we know that what God says, He actually puts it inside of you. Abundance. I've come that you have life, which He puts inside of you. And He says, I'm putting that life inside of you in abundance. Why? So you can fly high. So that you can teach your kids to fly high. So that you can walk in love. So that you can do the things of God. So that you can live a life worthy of the calling that He's called you with. I dare you to look at yourselves that way, because that's who you are. That is who you are. If you have to put the past behind you, do it today. Put it behind you. His mercies are new when? Every morning. Every morning. I'm so thankful for that. I can put the things in my past behind me. Every day I can move forward in the love and the grace of God and fly high every day. And if I fall, I'll bounce and do a flip and run right back up that ladder. Swing again. Let me close with this. If you're here today and you say, you know what, this is so new to me, I'm blown away. Even the music today just blew me away. And I just came in because I was invited, or I know I should come to church, but I've never given God my life. See, that's where it starts. Adam and Eve fell. They sinned. And inside them it died. And when you and I have sinned inside, if we don't have the Lord, we die. But Jesus is offering you and I something. It's called life. And there's only one way to have the life of God inside of you. And that's for you to be willing to die to yourself and give your entire life to Him. But as we do that, He has a promise. And it's called abundance. If you've never done that before, I'd love to pray with you. It's super, super simple. Scripture says this in Romans, call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. See, it's a free gift. We don't work for it. It's free. Call on Him. Give Him your life. Maybe it'll help some of you. If I could just, for the privacy of the people around you, if you could just bow your heads, close your eyes, if you're comfortable with that. If you're not, you can go ahead and look at me, but I'm good with that too. Sometimes it's a lot of pressure to think, oh man, my heart's pounding like crazy right now. I know I should accept the Lord. I want to, but I'm afraid. It's all right. I'll help you through it. If you're here and you say, today, I want to give my entire life to God so I can have His life in the inside of me, a born-again life, a new life, could you just do something? Could you just raise your hand so that I know you're there? Great, I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there any others? Just the person that raised your hand, if you would look at me. We're all going to pray together. You pray this prayer. It's going to be real simple. You give Him your life. Just give it. He's been waiting. And He's going to take you. He's going to put abundance inside of you. Everything in our past is washed away. We're forgiven for every sin. Let's all of us pray this together. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful that You sent Jesus. And Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross, for paying my penalty. I receive You right now as my Lord, as my Savior. God, I give you my life. Thank you for filling me with your life. Thank you for setting me free. My sins are forgiven. Today's a new day. I choose to walk in it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me do one more thing real quick. Parents, if you want to make a declaration, what does that mean? It means I'm going to make a change. And I'm going to let everybody know it. If you've been lax with your kids, if you've been lax with your family, and today you say, you know what? I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to be that girl. I'm going to allow God's life inside of me that I can influence my kids, that I can walk in love, that I can be a friend to my kids. If you want to make a declaration today, say, I'm changing. Now, if you've been doing amazing, that's fine. Don't change. Keep doing that. But if you say, I've kind of been slack, it happens. Let's make a declaration today. I like doing it with a declaration. I'm not just trying to get you to stand, but stand up if you would, if you want to do that declaration. Go ahead. It's good. There's more people standing here. You're not the only ones. Awesome. Awesome. Because we're going to declare. And now the people that are sitting, just look around. Because you're going to help them. You're going to help them. These are the ones that say, you know what? I kind of feel like I haven't been doing what I'm doing, but today, no condemnation, folks. Mm-mm. No. Bam. Today, I declare. Say this. Today, I declare. I will walk with God. I will walk in the direction of God. I will lead in the direction of God. I have the power of God inside of me. I rely on you, Father. Your strength in me. I can do it. I will do it. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
I could just listen to him all day. That was awesome. You ready to go?
I'm sorry.
Imagine Christmas with him. Equally as fun as we had today. Y'all give it up for Pastor Eric. Just phenomenal. Yeah. Listen, we need to transition our service to the generosity portion. If you came ready today to worship God with your giving, now is your time. We are completely supported by the partners at New Chapel, and partners, we thank you. Also, if you want more information about our Automate the Important campaign, we have going on right now, and it's really just an opportunity for those people who are already giving online to jump online and automate what is already important to you, and no pressure with that, but if you want more information, you can go to newchapel.com/give, and they can give you all the information about how to give online. Let me just say this, guys. When you give, it matters. Like, when you give, it changes other people's lives. When you give, we're able to do incredible curriculum for our kids back with our new Orange program, which if you haven't seen that, when you're checking in or checking out your kids, grab our sheets. We have sheets that you can talk to your kids about the different things that they can learn every single week, and we really prep you for success with that, but your giving does that. When you give, you support a debt-free ministry focused on life change. And that's the heart of this place. We're for people to connect to God and be raised to new life in Christ. Amen, somebody? So here's what I want you to do. If you came prepared to give today, you can give, obviously, in service. We have a mobile giving app. You can go to the App Store if you're an Apple user. If you have an Android store, I have no idea. Dial the rotary thing, call for the operator. Maybe you might be able to download that. All the people from Easttown, the trendy people, they're doing text to give. But most of our church, in fact, it used to be three-quarters-ish, somewhere around there, like most, give online at newchapel.com/give. And the reason for that is because I haven't carried cash since 1998. I don't own any money personally. It's all just digital on my computer screen. You know what I'm talking about, somebody? So, no. The mature guy says no. So if you came ready to give today, you can get that ready. And if you are giving online or already gave online, go and just hold your cell phone. It's kind of just your point of contact. Hold that loud and proud, and we're going to pray over that offering. Is that cool? Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to give today. Lord, as we give, we thank you that we're able to bless Pastor Eric. We're able to bless this ministry. We're able to bless you. And Father, we thank you that as we give today, it is our worship to you. Just as much as when we sing and lift our hands and dance before the Lord, Father, our giving is worship to you. So we thank you that you receive it in heaven, Jesus. We give it, not grudgingly, not of necessity, but with a cheerful heart, because we love you, God. We love our Heavenly Father. We thank you that you receive it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, visit newchapel.com.